We read the Word of God as we find it this morning in 1 Peter. I'm going to read chapter 1 and read on into chapter 2, verse 5. Our text is actually taken from chapter 2. I want to have somewhat the context here before our mind. First, the Epistle of Peter, chapter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect, according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you, and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which, according to His abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him up from the dead, gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfading love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. The word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Thus far the reading of God's word. Direct our attention specifically to verse 2. Newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. It's grounded on the reality of that spiritual birth. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. The word of God, beloved, was and addresses the church in its need and the elect strangers. That is the more correct reading of verse 1 and 2. Those words are separated for to make sense, but in Peter's opening, he is addressing the elect strangers scattered. He's talking to God's believing people who are in trial. And he reminds them that the trial of their faith, therefore, is something God sends, that it's precious, and that it works for us spiritual growth. He's reminding churches largely of a Gentile background of what God has done for them. And he is doing that with a view to lead them to walk in God's ways. The principle of the life of God's church is that as God is holy, so we also are to be a holy people unto Him. Grace makes a holy congregation. Because the church is a temple built upon the cornerstone, subject he takes up in the rest of chapter 2, cornerstone which is Jesus Christ. And you and I, as believers, are built up a spiritual house, a temple, the dwelling place of God, and at the same time a priesthood of believers to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable unto God. Now it's in connection with that line of thought that Peter exhorts these churches, which are in many respects young Christians, those who have been gathered through the labors of the gospel on the mission fields in Cappadocia, Bithynia, and the other regions of Galatia and so on, to have at the heart of their life as God's people a certain desire. And that desire is for the milk of the word, that they might be fed. Without that, everything else that he has to say is not going to prosper. They will not have comfort in trial. Their faith will not grow. They will not know how to walk as obedient children. Their spiritual life will suffer because of the famine of the word. They must put away from them that which feeds the old man of sin, their sinful flesh. They must lay aside all malice and guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings that only fuels the fires of sin. And they must, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that they may grow thereby. They tasted it already. And he reminds them of that. When God brought them into the blessings of Jesus Christ. But they must continue to desire the pure milk of the Word that their faith may grow. It's fitting for us to reflect upon that truth of God's Word this morning as we look to the installation of your first pastor as a congregation and to be reminded of that as God's people. It is very easy for us to take that preaching of the Word, which is the milk here, that feeds us as God's children. Take that milk of the Word for granted. And it is, in fact, our calling to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Sit with me, first of all, the calling of newborn babes, that figure the apostle uses. Secondly, the desire for that sincere milk. And finally, also the growth that is its intent or is in fact promised us. The apostle in our text draws a very simple picture. That picture is of a newborn who is helpless and in great need. A child, not one of full age, but one who is, in fact, the helpless of infants. And it must be breastfed with that which is needful for it that it may grow. That is the figure that he uses here. Now, that figure is not an uncommon one in Scripture. There are times when the Word of God looks at the church and distinguishes between infants and adults spiritually and says to those who need milk when they ought to be spiritual adults that they ought to desire meat. And the writer of Hebrews brings that admonition to those who've long known the Word and had become spiritually complacent and lazy. That's not the point of Peter's use of this figure here. The point of it is that every child of God, as he grows in grace and in the knowledge of God, is as one who must be fed in the same manner that a newborn must be fed. That is a picture of believers, of Christians, children of God. Now, in speaking of our birth, he does not have in view, of course, our birth by nature. We were born dead in trespasses and sins. We had only a thirst or lust for all the wickedness of this world. We were born of corruptible seed after the flesh. By nature, children of wrath and children of disobedience, as Paul speaks of it in Ephesians 2. He's talking about the great wonder of our salvation, first of all. That God takes those who are not by nature His children, and by an almighty, powerful work of grace, lays hold upon us from the heart, and gives unto us a spiritual resurrection from the dead, a new life which is from above, and does so by the powerful working of His regenerating or quickening grace and mercy in Jesus Christ, and does so by the very power of the living risen Lord. So that he has begun this epistle with that beautiful doxology in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living or lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. that spiritual newborn, that child of God's grace, of His covenant, the child that Peter has in view. That child was not born of the corruptible seed that is from parents to children to grandchildren after the flesh. That child, that newborn, was born of an incorruptible seed. That incorruptible seed, beloved, is in Jesus Christ. Verse 23 in the context, he speaks of the Word of God. He's not talking there about the preaching, but he is talking about the Word of God that liveth and abideth forever, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, as the Word of God was made flesh and dwelt among us and assumed our human nature and took that human nature which had sinned in the fall and assumed it with all its weaknesses and infirmities, sin accepted, and nailed it to the cross, bearing the wrath of God against our sins to redeem us. So that you weren't redeemed from your sins by corruptible things, the silver and gold, but by the great wonder of the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, and who by His resurrection has raised up that nature and glorified it, given it life from the dead. It is in Jesus Christ, therefore, that living and eternal Word, which was made flesh, who died and rose again the third day, is now glorified at the Father's right hand, that you and I receive from the wonder work of our Savior, and by the quickening power of the Holy Spirit, an incorruptible seed of spiritual life, so that we are begotten again by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and we are born again not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by that living Word of God, Jesus Christ. What Christ does, beloved, when He quickens us from death to life, is He imparts His life, His resurrection life, unto us through a work of the Holy Spirit in the soul, by which it becomes your life and mine. And that new life, by the power of grace, by the working of God, by the Word. Now the Word preached, the Word of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. This Word, by the Gospel is preached unto you, a new life is called unto faith and spiritual activity. And the one is born and made to live as a newborn babe. Is built as a living stone upon the foundation Jesus Christ brought into union with Him. The stones of a building are knit together in one. It's the great wonder of God's mercy. It's those newborn babes which you and I are by grace, and which blessing God commands in the generations of believers to gather to Himself from our corruptible seed, an incorruptible seed of His own work of grace, covenant faithfulness, to those newborn babes, that includes the children here also, who are together with us, elect strangers in the earth, with the life from above, to them that Peter says, now, that's who you are. And you have been born by the great mercy of our God and Father, the wonder work of our Savior. And you know that wonder. You have tasted it, that the Lord is gracious. When He wrought that wonder in your heart, and it makes no difference whether that was from your youth as a child growing up under the preaching of the Word, or whether as an adult, which for many of you is the case, this was a mission work. Now you have tasted through the wonder of that work as He called it unto repentance towards God and faith in Jesus Christ, tasted that grace of God. And you experienced it, and it came unto you in one way. By the preaching of the gospel, through which the Word, Jesus Christ and Him crucified, was proclaimed, and by the working of the Spirit of Christ by the Word in you. You heard and continue to hear the voice of Christ through the preaching of the gospel. Jesus Himself testifies, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and the voice of strangers they will not follow." That's the great wonder of the preaching of the Word. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. It is what quickens newborn babes, causes them to grow, leads them, and ultimately nourishes them. So that when Peter speaks, therefore, to us as newborn babes, and says, desire the sincere milk, he's not talking about earthly milk, obviously, but the milk of the Word. He has in view now the preaching of Jesus Christ and Him crucified, and all the fullness of that Word as it addresses us as newborn children of God, called unto faith and repentance, as the light of that Word fills our mind and heart with all the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, with all the riches of the understanding of God's counsel and purpose in our redemption. A thing so wondrous in God's work that the angels desired to look into it, the prophets who spake the same word by the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament searched their own writings to understand it. And you and I, being partakers of these blessings, now rejoice, believing, he says, and do so with, rejoice with joy unspeakable. Can utter all the fullness of the wonder of God's saving work is wrought in us in Christ, full of glory. They're redeemed and made children of God to be fed with the milk of the Word that feeds our soul continually to everlasting life. Now, it's in the light of that that Peter points out that in harmony with who we are and what grace has made us to be, you and I also have plainly a certain calling. That calling is to desire that sincere milk of the Word. Babies need nourishment, and they need to be fed. Now, the reason for that exhortation is, of course, that you and I, by nature, desire all the milk of the world, the wine of violence, the temptations of sin, the lusts of the flesh, all of which are native to us according to our first birth from below. And that is contrary to us, according to that old man of sin, to desire spiritual food. The real temptation for the Church of Jesus Christ is always to take that milk of the Word corrupt, adulterate, water it down, pervert it, turn it into something it's not. By the sincere milk of the Word, he means that which is pure and unadulterated. Not earnest, but that which is fitting according to the Word itself. Harmony with reality that you're going to be spiritually healthy, just as a babe needs the full milk, unadulterated, to grow. So does the church need the milk of the Word in its pure form. Beloved, that is something that as Church of Jesus Christ, we must first of all battle to maintain. The minister of the gospel, I said that too to your pastor, battle to maintain it first of all in your own study and in your labors in writing sermons. The whole world around us in the Christian community today is full of itching ears, the inventions of men, the vain follies that substitute themselves for preaching. The milk of the Word is adulterated and watered down, and adulterated again by every corruption and every invention of men. They don't desire any longer the milk of the Word. And eventually you have to say, have you tasted that the Lord is gracious? Where is the hunger? It's a serious problem. We as churches are not immune to that. Cut the sermon shorter and shorter and shorter. Do other things, introduce stories and illustrations and all the things that please the eye and ear of men. Churches I grew up in. Churches out of which many of you have come in your spiritual sojourning did exactly all those things. What was going on? The adulterating of the milk, of the Word. So that famine of the hearing of the Word prevails. And what makes it even more wretched is that when the prophets prophesy falsely, as they did also in the Old Testament, and the priests bore rule by their means, we find that the people love to have it so. And they perished in the way. Peter comes with a very serious warning. As newborn babes, desire the sincere, pure, unadulterated milk of the Word. You, brother in the ministry, preach that Word. We preach nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. There's a very real sense of the Word, beloved, in which every Sunday, and indeed every sermon, no matter who the minister, no matter what the occasion, there is a very real sense in which it's all the same sermon. We preach the whole counsel of God from the Scriptures, and we preach but one thing, Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the answer to marriage problems, the child-rearing problems, the financial problems, to the struggles of spiritual comfort, to the knowledge of your sin and need for forgiveness, Jesus Christ and Him alone. For all things are made by Him and for Him. God wills that in Him all the fullness should dwell and to reconcile all things, heaven and earth, in one, even in Jesus Christ. It's His life that dwells in us. He is the shepherd who feeds us. He is the living bread. and the water of life. That means that you and I come to God's house ready to be fed with the Word. That you pray for your pastor, sustain him in his labors, that he has the time to study, that you encourage him when you are fed so that he knows that the Word is working effectually in your midst, that you are free also to speak of your struggles and problems so that he may lead the congregation not only in prayer but bring God's Word to bear upon them. Walk together as the body of Christ in the unity of faith requires a spiritual bond, communion together. We are to drink the same milk, to have the same spiritual need, to be fed on the Lord's day. The body edifies itself in love. God builds us up through the preaching of the Word. That means that you also as a congregation need to reflect on your way, on your walk, your preparation for the Lord's Day, those spiritual activities which throughout the course of the week prepare you to go to the Lord's house. Put away the weights and hindrances that beset you to get your spiritual priorities set aright, that entering God's house you come to be fed with a spiritual hunger. The sincere milk of the Word, pure and unadulterated, is what we come to God's house to seek. And Peter is exhorting us to have a certain attitude. To desire, contrary to the flesh, but according to that new man in Christ, to desire that sincere milk of the Word. Something that's got to be urgent. Something that's like a baby that has just woke up and is hungry and needs to be nursed. That baby's hunger is, as it were, a kind of pain. No nursing mother has overlooked the fact that of the urgency of that and the insistence of it. It's what we must desire as children of God when we sit under the preaching of the Word. Recognizing that those who labor in the Word are earthen vessels, that God has deliberately set the treasure of the gospel in such earthen vessels. Paul speaks of that. God is, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined into our hearts. Give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's the milk with which we would be fed. Paul speaks of it there as light. But we have that treasure, he says, in earthen vessels for one very good reason. That the excellency of the power, the fruit, the growth of which Peter is also speaking here might be of God and not men. That means that you will have to bear patiently with the weaknesses and infirmities of your pastor as you have borne with mine. Those little expressions that become cliches that you're familiar with and all the other little quirks that every minister has. To come to be fed by that earthen vessel, by that means which God has set in the life of the body. Preaching. Come to hear the herald that you might hear the king. Be fed by the sincere milk of the Word. You do that as the body of Christ walking together in the unity of faith, the bond of love. Because therein the life of the congregation flourishes. And we grow grace. Now, it's in that connection that Peter also has in view that we have a certain intent, and yet it's also that which God, in fact, realizes through the milk of the Word. A baby regularly fed with pure, unadulterated milk grows. Grows to spiritual maturity in the life of the church the way an infant grows to adulthood. Grows strong, healthy, vigorous. You want the same thing. That ye may grow thereby, he says. You will. God does not cause his word to go forth in vain. The labor of the ministry, which is often like sowing of seed in a field, and is described in Scripture as the sower going forth with tears, is at the same time a labor that has a harvest. Not the harvest of grain, well, that's the figure, but a harvest of the souls, those who hear, preaching of the word. It's very easy to begin to think of the life of the church in carnal terms, in earthly ways. But our labor is under the care of souls, that's true for all the office bearers, and the harvest of salvation. The gathering, preservation, perseverance, final gathering in of the elect of God unto eternal glory. That word will not return void. It will accomplish the thing to which God sends it. It will come in a way that admonishes and calls to repentance those who walk in sin, and it must. It will comfort those who are weak and burdened. It will guard the young lambs in the way from walking in the folly of sin and keep them from the temptations of youth. It is that which works the spiritual growth of the whole life of the body from childhood to old age to the day that we leave this life. We grow under it. The world, of course, that looks like foolishness. Spend an hour sitting listening to the exposition of a verse of the Bible or the doctrine summarized in the catechism. When it's a beautiful summer day, we could be out at the lake doing this and that, and in the winter going skiing and all the other pleasures of this world. There's no growth there. They perish in the way. It's that word that will also cause you spiritually, personally to grow. It will cause your families to grow in covenant fellowship in the home. It is that which sustains you as parents in your labor to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The newborn babes include the children in the congregation who are growing in faith under the Word. That milk of the Word includes the catechism classes and the calling as parents to prepare the children for them. Something that very quickly begins to drift. Children must take heed to that calling to desire the sincere milk of the Word in catechism classes in the fall. The parents need to see to it that they do their work. But not only that, the congregation here is small. We're about double our normal size this morning. You have a calling to let your light shine in the Spokane area. What has gathered the church here? Power of God through the preaching of the gospel. Not some technique not some methodology. That doesn't mean we may do various things by way of evangelism. We have a calling to do that. Let's keep fixed in our mind that the babe is born by the incorruptible seed which is in Christ, the new life which is from above, and that is quickened and called by the gospel. We want to grow as a congregation. It begins right here in the house of God with the preaching of the gospel. With milk, food, convenient, fitted for the needs, the spiritual needs of God's people at every level of understanding, spiritual maturity, and growth. As newborn babes desire that sincere milk of the Word, you will grow personally. The congregation will grow. God did not bring us to a dead end in the sense that now the labor of mission worker evangelism is finished here. It just simply takes on a new form, and the Lord willing, a richer form with the full life of the church and a council of elders that are here instead of at a remote distance. Certainly my heart's desire for you. It's been my experience too. The congregations once formed begin to flourish and grow. From you must sound out the word of the Lord in the whole region. Just like it did from Thessalonica. That word must be the milk of the word. And those who are truly babes will see that they are being fed where they've been getting dust and stones for bread. And they will hear the voice of their shepherd, Christ, and come. And you will flourish as a congregation. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and Father in heaven, and blessed is it that we might confess Thee as our God and Father. The wonder of that grace that transcends our understanding, that hath planted us into the fellowship of life eternal in Jesus Christ, called us unto the knowledge of Thee, and of a living faith, as lively or living stones in Christ. Father, feed us with food convenient for us as Thy flock. Give unto Thy servant whom Thou dost call to labor here all the gifts of Thy Spirit that are needful for him. Sustain him and his needs and his family also. We labor together in the cause of the gospel. Father, forgive us our sins when we come to Thy house without that hunger that ought to characterize us as newborn babes. Give us to earnestly desire it, the milk of Thy Word. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This